The part of the country where my parents come from, and they lived till just last week, is a little traditionalist. And when I go there with my ponytail and have my jeans on and I walk about the town in my flip-flops, they just don't know what to do with me. In fact, their nickname for me is Hippie Priest. For some reason, even when they come home, and they know I'm on my vacation, but even when they come home, they expect to see me in my cassock. The thing is, at home, it goes downhill. They find me in my shorts. So I hear many things said about me, and I just smile, I let it go. I say to myself, it's not what I wear, but rather how I conduct myself that proves my Christian character, right? I understand Jesus in today's gospel reading. Jesus gets some grief about his identity and his mission. But it went a little further for him. He wasn't just spoken against. He was judged. He was questioned. He was harassed. He was persecuted. They took him to the brow of the hill to hurl him down. That's pretty serious. So let's try and understand what's going on with Jesus and what Luke is really trying to say to us. So in my first two points, I want to explain Luke and how he is trying to present Jesus to Israel. And in my third point, I want to draw some practical implications for today. So first of all, let's remind ourselves where we are in the liturgical year and also in the Gospel of Luke. Where are we? Liturgically, Christmas is over, Epiphany is over, the baptism of Jesus is over, and last week you remember that Jesus was in the synagogue and he opened the scroll and he read from Isaiah. This is how Luke introduces Jesus to Israel. He's in this official setting and he reads this prophecy from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord. This is how Luke introduces Jesus. Now that Jesus is introduced, the focus shifts to his identity. Who is this man? And hence, the question that is raised, isn't this the son of Joseph? In fact, if you read from the Gospel of Matthew, there are further questions. Isn't this the son of Mary? Aren't his brothers Joseph and James and Judas, and aren't they with us? So the question of identity, and this is Luke's point. Luke is saying that this is not just the son of Joseph. This is not just the son of Mary. This is the Son of God. Second point. Introductions are harmless, aren't they? I introduced Father Rob to you. You didn't draw any judgments. Introductions are harmless. Then why was Jesus oppressed at his introduction? Why did they begin to persecute him at his introduction? Why the fury and the attempted harm? Now remember, I said to you that Jesus was in his official setting. He was in the synagogue. This role that he was playing of reading from the scroll and talking about it, it's like me preaching today. This is an official platform. Now from this official platform, not only did Jesus say that he was the fulfillment of the prophecy, but he actually altered the prophecy. And this is crucial for us to understand. So here's the prophecy by which he was introduced. Now this prophecy is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah. However, Jesus reads only part of the prophecy. He leaves an important part of the prophecy aside. So here is the entire prophecy. So it would read, "And to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord and a day of vengeance / vindication." Different translations use different words. One translation uses vindication, but most probably the translation that Jesus had was vengeance. "And a day of vengeance by our God to comfort all who mourn." Jesus leaves that part of Isaiah's prophecy aside. He doesn't read it. Jesus deliberately omitted this section of vengeance and vindication. In other words, the ministry he proposed was different than what the people anticipated. People knew Isaiah's prophecy. They were waiting for a Messiah. But they were waiting for the kind of Messiah that they wanted. See, for most people, the good news was an action of vengeance or vindication against the oppressors, the Romans. The office of the Messiah had massive political overtones. By omitting vengeance, Jesus rejected any intervention that was superficial, that was an exercise of brute force, that was violent, or that diminished the dignity of the human person. Jesus completely rejected this kind of intervention. On the contrary, his mission would be the transformation of the human person for the common good. And this is important to understand. Jesus was not going to come with tremendous power and compel human people to conversion. That wasn't his method at all. It was not one of vengeance. Rather, he invited people to conversion. He invited people to a transformation of the heart, transformation from within for the common good. In other words, it's not enough to be converted, but conversion is so that the entire community, the entire nation, all the people, we can all walk together towards God, this transformation of the human person for the common good. Now, in this economy of salvation, even enemies became friends. In this economy of salvation, love, compassion, mercy, humility, and peace, they were paramount. The people of Nazareth did not accept this new economy of salvation. They wanted vengeance against the oppressors. Hence the prejudice against Jesus. Hence the judgment. Hence the condemnation. Hence the harassment and the persecution. So my third point, and this is some real practical implications for us. Folks, today we continue to live in a time of competing economies and dispensations. And what I mean by is, how does God function among us? And there are competing opinions about it. Now, I don't know if you remember this time or not. When I was a kid, there were Catholics, and then there was everyone else. Right? Catholics got along with each other. Today, we live in a time where even Catholics among themselves cannot agree on what it means to be Catholic. There's so much discord, there's so much competing ideologies, and how they affect what Catholicism is all about is truly problematic these days. And just like Jesus, prejudices and judgments and condemnations and harassment and persecutions are rife. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, how can we make sure that our ideas, our politics, our ideologies, our likes and dislikes don't influence who God is? Can we allow God to be God? Or do we end up judging and condemning God like the people of Nazareth did? How can we make sure that we approach creation and everybody and everything in it the way God wants us to? The answer is very simple. You find it in today's second reading. If I speak in human and angelic tongues, but I do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clashing cymbal. Folks, and that's the point of today's entire reading, all the scripture readings. Do we personify God's love, or are we clashing cymbals? Jesus began a new dispensation. There is a new economy that Jesus circulates, and it was a dispensation of love, of genuine love of God and genuine love of neighbor. The people of Nazareth did not want to surrender to this new dispensation. And I hope we are different. I don't know when you last were given homework, but may I give you a homework? I would like you to go home this week and sometime during the week, pick up the second reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And when it comes to the part where it says love is patient, love is kind, that entire section, I want you to substitute the word love with your name. So it would read, Satish is kind, Satish is patient, Satish does not brood over injury, Satish is not rude, Satish does not rejoice over evil. Honestly, do this as a spiritual exercise. This week, substitute the word love for yourself and then humbly stand before God and ask yourself, Dear Lord, where is it that I need to surrender to your new dispensation of love? Where is it that I need to become more like what you want me to be, rather than you become more like what I want you to be? On this table, on this altar, we truly know what love is all about. This is not merely clashing cymbals or a resounding gong. What happens on this altar is true love of God and genuine love of neighbor. unlike the people of Nazareth, let us surrender to this new dispensation. People of God said,